Hello, everybody. Today we're on Psalm 16. If you open your Bibles to Psalm 16, now I'm not going to read the whole psalm today, although the whole psalm is actually about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a messianic psalm in its entirety, one of the few of the messianic psalms that are such. Most of the messianic psalms will have one or two verses that are directly referring to the Lord Jesus, but Psalm 16 is like Psalm 2 and Psalm 8 and Psalm 22 and Psalm 110 that basically deal with Christ in their entirety. And so is Psalm 16. And in Psalm 16, we get the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, presented to us as the dependent man. Some have likened that to what we have in Leviticus chapter 2 in the meal offering or the grain offering, which presents Christ in his holy manhood. So it's the Lord Jesus, the dependent man that was down here, you know, in the meal offering. Frankincense was taken and put on the meal offering and burnt before the Lord and went up as a sweet fragrance to God. And this is frankincense in the scriptures speaks of everything that Christ did, all his movements through the world here, everything he did, every place he went, how he held himself, how he spoke to men, everything he did, every movement went up for the pleasure of God. And so in this psalm, he's brought before us as that dependent man, that manhood which glorified God. You know, apart, of course, from the death and resurrection, ascension and glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ, his life here would not have benefited us as such. But God appreciated his life here. He lived that holy life, that dependent life that none of us could really live. Now, I'm just going to start in verse 8 and read to the end. We'll just look at these verses. Verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, or that should be Sheol. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And so we see in verse 8 that Messiah says that the Lord, that God is always at his right hand. And we see the Lord Jesus in his life here, how everything he did, the Father was with him. He never took a movement apart from the Father. Every word he spoke was the words that the Father had given him to speak. And he could say, my Father is always with me, the Lord at my right hand. Which is interesting when we compare it with the last verse, where we see him as the resurrected one and also ascended one at the right hand of God. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So when the Lord Jesus was on the earth, God was at his right hand. But now that he's in heaven, he's at God's right hand. And then in verse 10 and 11, we get the verses that are quoted in the New Testament referring to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why sometimes Psalm 16 is called the Psalm of the Resurrection. It says in verse 10, for thou wilt not leave my soul in Sheol, the King James says hell. The Lord Jesus never went to hell. Sheol is the place of the departed spirits. It's the place in the Old Testament, once people die, they entered into that unknown place. As far as Old Testament revelation is concerned, we know now in the New Testament, these things have been opened up to us. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that life and incorruptibility has been brought to light through the gospel. But, you know, the Lord Jesus never went down into hell, as some people speak of. You know, that this is a strange doctrine that teaches that he somehow went down into hell and preached the gospel to the departed spirits, and they either believed or rejected down here, and they would have a second chance. There's all sorts of thoughts. It's an unsound doctrine, really. It's something that the Bible doesn't teach at all. And some of it is based, of course, on what we have in 1 Peter, but it's a misunderstanding of what Peter says in chapter 3 of his epistle, where he says in verse 19, by which he, that is also Christ, went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. What Peter's saying here is that he went by the Holy Spirit. You get this in the end of verse 18. But he was quickened by the Holy Spirit in resurrection. And by that same Spirit, if you look, for example, at the New American Standard or the Darby translation, you get the literal. He went by that same Spirit and preached unto the spirits in prison that are now in prison. But when did he preach to them? He preached to them in the days of Noah. It was the Spirit of Christ in Noah preaching those 120 years to the disobedient souls. You know, they could come into the ark at any time and be saved from the flood, but only eight were saved, Noah and his family. They were disobedient. They are now in prison, being reserved, waiting for the day of judgment. They had their opportunity. They don't get a second opportunity. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, was buried, he didn't go down into hell somewhere and preach to them. It's a misunderstanding of what Peter's saying. And then in chapter 4 of First Peter, he says, who will give an account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but living according to God in the Spirit. That they are now dead, but they had heard the gospel when they were alive, but they will come into the judgment of the dead in that day. So we'll just go back to Psalm 16. So it's the Psalm of the Resurrection. The Apostle Peter quotes this in Acts chapter 2, verse 23-34, where he's proving that, you know, King David wrote this psalm, but he wrote it by the Holy Spirit. But David wasn't speaking about himself. David himself, Peter said, is still in the tomb of his fathers, right there in Jerusalem, buried. His bones were there. He was never raised from the dead. It's referring to the son of David, who was raised, the one who would come from David's seed, his descendant, one of his descendants, the son of David, who we know is the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, and he was raised from among the dead. And it says that the Holy One would see no corruption. The Lord saw no corruption in the tomb, not like Lazarus, who was in the tomb 4 days, and they said, well, his body now stinks. The Lord's body didn't corrupt. The Lord was raised from among the dead. His body saw no corruption. And then we get in verse 11, you will show me the path of life. And that was the Lord Jesus, his whole life. The path of life led up to the throne of God. And he was on that path. But on the way, brothers and sisters, he went to the cross for you and I. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of God. What was the joy that was set before him? The joy was that he would have you and I with him in the glory. That there's joy in the presence of God over one sinner that repents. This is his joy. And the joy that was set before him. And in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Don't think in this verse in terms of what the Muslims teach in Islam. They have like a carnal view of paradise when they think of the pleasures of paradise. They carnalize it. They make it something degrading. But these are the spiritual joys of being in the presence of God forever and ever. You know, brothers and sisters, this will be our joy as well. We'll share that joy of Christ in glory. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So in the psalm, we get the Lord Jesus as the one seated at the right hand of God in heaven. You know, there are four psalms that present to us the Lord Jesus as a man in heaven. In Psalm 8, we get him as the man of glory in heaven, crowned with glory and honor. Here in Psalm 16, we see him as the man of joy at God's right hand. Psalm 69, we see him as the man of grace, the one that ascended is the one that also descended, and he's given gifts of grace to men. And then Psalm 110, we see him as the man of patience. He's seated at the right hand of God, waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. May the Lord bless this meditation for our hearts today. Amen.